I started to go earlier today to get Andre to drag up some of his old, dig up some of his old notes for me, but it didn't work that way. Tonight I'm gonna share a little bit with you guys on believing. Since I found out about this, I think it was Friday night, something like that. I just didn't know what to do. So I've been seeking the Lord, been praying, asking the Lord what he wanted to share with his people tonight. And it's interesting when you try to do something like this. I've shared my testimony a few times in different places, and trying to put something together, your mind can really do numbers on you and run pretty hard, pretty fast, and I think a lot of times that's good news, because the Lord wants us to learn to settle in to Him, let Him do the ministry, because you know without Him we can't do too much. But like I said, I'm gonna talk a little bit on believing. The title is The Responsibility of a Believer. And there's a song that, a verse to a song that I really enjoy by the Steels. And they talk about if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to learn to be a servant. And a servant to all. And I know when I first got saved, started serving the Lord, that was just... I just had this deep desire to want to minister the gospel, and you know, you want to do all these things for this great God that you finally, for years you struggled, you know, where he was at, what, you know, who is this God? You know, I tried the best I could to straighten my life out at one time and couldn't do it, but by his awesome grace and mercy, the Lord, you know, reveals to us who he is. Over a period of time, the Bible teaches a little here, a little there, line upon line, word upon word. And, but anyhow, for years, that's just been my desire, is to, especially meeting, Brother Buddy and able to spend a lot of time with him. I thought, man, that'd be the neatest thing if you could ever one day expound on the word like he can. Well, I don't have that ability at this time anyway, but it doesn't change the person of Christ that God's will is for us for him to manifest himself through us. And it's amazing that over the last few years I kind of got a little bit sidetracked. I got real busy, didn't get involved in any sin, backslidden lifestyle, just got busy, got real big as a contractor, doing a lot of work all over the state. And I kind of shoved everything that I was doing, I guess, righteously to the side as far as seeking and learning to trust the Lord. I was just running on being busy. And really over the last few months, especially the last month, my world kind of turned upside down. We got hit real hard by a customer on a job that's refusing to pay us. And the good news is that really doesn't have anything to do with anything, concerning the person of Jesus Christ. For some reason he brings us to these different places in our life. And I'm convinced now in my life that whether we like it or not, we have to go through a process, and it's a stripping process. We got to get rid of the baggage, and that's hard, because when you got saved, I think some of those things happen real easy, and I believe it's because of God's grace that it happened that way. He loves us like nobody else has. He always will. We're not going to change that, even how filthy or how righteous we get. We're not going to change his love. But What I'm going to try to do tonight is to share a little bit about the responsibility of a believer is to live by faith. And faith is learning to trust in the ways of the Lord according to Ephesians 2:8. I think everybody's familiar with that. Let's turn to Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Okay, so let me stop right here. We'll seek the Lord in this and pray and ask Him to help me through this. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I ask you to speak through me tonight, Lord. This is something that my heart has always desired ever since I met you, is to one day minister your word like it ought to be ministered, Lord. But Lord, we find out that we're inadequate people, Lord, but we've learned that you are adequate. You're all we'll ever need. That by your grace and mercy, you'll see us through. You'll do the work that needs to be done. You're not going to leave any of us out there hanging. And we know, and we've become to understand, Lord, that our life is complete in you. You are our life, and we thank you for it, Father. And Father, tonight I just ask you to help me lift up your name, Lord. Lord, you touch somebody's heart. You're already touching mine, Lord. I ask you just continue to touch the hearts of those that need to be touched, Lord. Those that are lost, that are not serving you, that aren't even here tonight, Lord. You move like nobody else. And Father, we thank you for these things, Lord, and we can trust you with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, what is faith? Faith in general is the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. The primary idea is to trust. If something is true, it's worthy of trust. I think the greatest trust we have on the planet today is that we can trust in a person called Jesus Christ. I mean, I know, like I said earlier, for years we struggled with this concept of who is this God? I mean, I remember growing up, you were taught in Sunday school. You know, I think they were proper teachings. But something had to take place inside the believer that only God can do. And he begins to speak into your life. And I'll never forget the first time I heard his voice. It's something you won't forget. And I think it's something it helps bring us to the place that we need to be. How do we get faith? Faith is the result of teaching. Let's look at Romans 10:14 through 17. It says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" And this is, to me, the key verse right here. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. If we go back to Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace. That's God's unmerited favor. We there's no way we did anything to earn this grace. And we're saved by grace through faith. Faith is nothing more, nothing less than us learning to trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And how do we obtain faith? By hearing the words of Christ. So everybody, anybody in here that believes and trusts in the Lord, there came a beginning time that somehow, some way, we heard from the Almighty God. We don't understand how that takes place. But again, I think that's the good news. Is He's before the foundations of the world, we were chosen. We were formed. I don't understand any of this, but I've learned in the last few years that we can accept what He's done and who He is, and that's plenty. That's because when we accept Him, we receive His life, and that life's forever. Because as we were brought into the world, our life was doomed. We had no hope. We had no future. And then, again, somehow, some way, He manifested on the scene, and we have eternity. Eternity came and took up residence in our heart. And to me, that's the greatest phenomenon on the planet. I was sharing with Brother Nathan, I think about a week or so ago, about some of this business deal. It kind of had me dumbfounded. I feel like, you know, there's a possibility of letting a lot of folks down if something don't happen, I guess, the way I need it to happen. And, but also there was something that kept coming to my mind that no matter what happens, I've already been seated. You've already been seated. We've all already been seated in heaven. So what can these contractors or what can our enemies do us? They can't do us anything. But processing all that is a different story. We cry, we get beat up, we get depressed. But again, the good news is, what do? We seek, we call upon the name of the Lord. And what does He do? He intervenes right then and there on our life and lets us know that we have worth, that we belong to Him. There's no greater worth than that than anything I've ever done. I've done a lot of stuff, stupid stuff, and in the last few years, been all over the southern part of the nation, worked on just tremendous jobs, just kind of blew me away. And it doesn't touch anything that the Lord has for us. It's almost hard to explain, but to me, it's a phenomena that we are new covenant people. That God came to us. We didn't go to Him. He comes to us. Let's see if I can find where I'm at. Anyhow. It says knowledge is an essential element in true faith. We need knowledge so we can know and understand God's word. The only way one can experience transformation, and I think we're all familiar with this, is by renewing our mind. Romans 12:2. If you will, go with me to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 talks about it. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I know, again, some of the issues that's became issues in my life is because in the last 2 or 3 years, I basically put God's word up. You know, I'd get in it maybe once or twice a week, pull the bulletin up on the internet to see where Brother Buddy's going on Sunday morning, and you know, just skim the scriptures that he has, and with computer Bible program, you can kind of jump around to a bunch of different scriptures. But that, my point in all that is the first 2 or 3 years I was saved, and being discipled, couldn't hardly put the Bible down. So if we're going to experience transformation, what do we need to do? We need to renew our mind so that we can put on the mind of Christ. We can learn the ways of the Lord, walk in His ways, not be, I guess, stumbling over every little thing we run across. I mean, and still, if we belong to God, it's okay that we stumble because we're going to. But and another verse that I have with that is this one just kind of caught my eye, and I put it in here. It's Romans 11:34. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor?" I remember seeing that verse years ago in a Bible study here with Brother Buddy, and I thought, wow, you know, who in the world would anybody on this planet be, you know, to think that we could counsel the Lord? You know, we need to understand the twist on that. The twist is He's our counselor, and that's all we need. Okay, let's see, I've talked about what is faith, how do we get faith. The third one is, why do we need faith? Number one, for salvation. Again, we are saved by grace through faith, God's unmerited favor through trust in Him. That's the only way I think a child can be saved. The Bible says in Acts, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Well, what's believe? It's learning to trust. It's faith. It's trust in the Lord. It's something that we learn to do with our heart. It's not an issue of we think there's God. The devil believe. The Bible says the demons believe, but they tremble. See, we don't have to tremble. We can just worship and love and be who we are. He accepted us just like we are, just filthy rags. And again, that's a phenomenon that we didn't do the right thing to be saved. Okay, Acts. Turn with me to Acts 16:31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your whole house, you and your household." That scripture right there has really ministered a lot to me here lately, because again, going through the struggles that I've had in the last few months, Brother Buddy and Brother Nathan have reminded me. Nathan has done this a lot. He's talked about, and he said, "Brother," he said, he looks out in the congregation, and he's seen in the last few months, we've had a lot of family sitting with us that wasn't here 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. And I'll just share kind of a brief testimony here that, you know, I think it was in 1997, my wife had got fed up with my ways, and I was asked to leave my home. And man, that destroyed me right there. I was like, you know, all the foolishness I was caught up in. I was a big partier. I was scared to death. I thought I was a pretty tough guy, but I was scared to death at that time. And I didn't want to leave. I think a few days passed by, and we were talking about some things, and she said you could leave under certain conditions. I'll get some counseling. And a lot of you've heard this, and I ended up getting some counseling. I got some counsel from the world, and you reckon, you know, it didn't have any effect. And at the time we belonged to the Catholic Church, and she used to make me go to confession, and I didn't really like that because being raised Southern Baptist, it didn't agree with me, but I was trying to do whatever Lori wanted me to do so that we could get past these problems. And long story short, sit down with the priest. They gave you some works to do, you know, go say whatever they were. And I was really wanting some answers because I had some problems. But the good news is, over a 2-year period, 98 and the first part of 99, I began listening to some ministry by Adrian Rogers, Michael Youssef, David Jeremiah. And there were several of them that I still listen to a lot of those guys today. And what happened was the Lord started preparing my heart. And through a Franklin Graham crusade and some friends that were here, they invited me here. And somehow, some way, I heard the words of Christ. And I basically, you know, what do I do? I didn't know what to do. But I learned, the Lord showed me how to walk, how to believe, how to live over the last several years. Again, a lot of you know my story, but a year later, my wife was saved. I think 2 years ago or last year, it could have been this year. My older brother was baptized here. He'd been here for a while. He was here before I was here. But there were some issues he needed to get settled. And then one that I had really given up all hope on was my sister. And because for the last 2 years, she would come to town, and I would do everything I could to, I'd meet her in the driveway. I'd get her before anybody else could get to her, and boy, I'd waylay her with Jesus. And I guess in spite of me, something took place in her life that she ended up in a big broken relationship, divorce, and back at home. And asked my wife and I at the first of the year, could she come to church with us? And man, I was dumbfounded. Like, better believe you can come, you know, be more than happy for you to come with us. I was hoping she wouldn't go nowhere else, you know. But and she managed to come and she started hearing, you know, proper Bible teaching, and we watched her for weeks and months sit there and just weep. And I didn't know how mistreated, how cruel the world had been to her. You know, I thought we just had a lot of problems because we made a lot of bad choices. I know on my deal, you know, partying, doing a lot of drinking, I mean, I didn't have to do that. Nobody came and forced that on me, but she had had some issues that just seemed not to be fair. And then I know a lot of you guys heard her speak. You know, the good Lord moved in her life recently. She's baptized and she's been set free from all that bondage. And guys, to me, that just fascinates me that it can even be so bad and so hopeless. But some reason before the world's work, He chose my sister. You know, it took some time. I think our problem is we're caught up in time. God's out of time, and time's nothing for Him. And then, you know, my mama, comes a lot, has been what I think is being personally discipled by the ministry here, been in church all her life, and hadn't really had anybody sit down and go from cover to cover the Word of God. And I asked Brother Buddy one day, I was sharing with him, talking with him, and I asked him, I said, brother, I said, how in the world can anybody live a Christian life, walk by faith, if they've never been discipled? He said, they can't do it. He said, brother, whether we like it or not, he said, that was God's design. And you look back and study the life of Jesus, that's exactly what he did, the 12. He kept teaching them and teaching them. They had tons of questions. They had a lot of doubt. You know, because when he got ready to depart from them, they was, where are you going? You know, show us the Father. We don't even know who you are. And you got a lot of you, but guys know a lot more Bible than me. And I mean, and he spoke to them right where they were at, right to their heart, and told them exactly who he was. He's basically been around forever. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. What else do we need? And in all of this, again, over the last few years of being super busy, kind of it drew me away from my first love. And my first love, number one, was and is Jesus Christ. It always will be. It's got to be. And I understand we can get sidetracked. Again, doesn't change the person of who he is. But number two, like I shared with y'all earlier, I've always wanted to minister the gospel. I don't know if I'll ever do it on any, I guess, pulpit level, but in the last few months, I'll share this with you. I was teaching, helping Brother Nathan, but we were swapping Sunday mornings teaching Sunday school. And we're teaching high school kids. And guys, if you want to test your skills, your patience, your everything, teach high school kids. Because whether you like it or not, a couple listen, a couple aggravate the mess out of you, and a couple don't hear nothing, ain't going to hear nothing. But, you know, I was about to my point of either not doing it anymore or going and complaining to Brother Nathan. And we sat down one Wednesday night, had a little time in Awana, and he started sharing some things with me, how he had blown it with one high school kid, did something in the game time. And it hit me like a ton of brick that, you know, who in the world am I that I'm going to complain about God's kids? He's called them together here. And who in the world needs to hear the gospel more than some than the high school kids, even those that are easy, hard, difficult? And man, I'm telling you guys, it just changed my world. That, can you imagine going? I go back and find out who taught me high school Sunday school, because I wasn't worried about none of that. And that guy kept on teaching. And teaching. And then, on top of that, just preparing the Sunday school lesson. I mean, I don't know about you guys, the week goes by fast. Laura and I gotta try to run up here and get it, because we leave it here because Nathan does it one week. And the sad thing is that sometimes you wait till Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. And man, I was battling just, you know, Lord, I don't want to do this. I want to back out of doing this. But I kept praying, kept asking the Lord to help me with this. And then all of a sudden, you take that little Sunday school, lessons that they have. It's a 4-part deal. And it opened up. And I thought, wow, you know, why in the world do we wrestle with the things we wrestle with? But, you know, in spite of us, you know, God wants us to do the things that we need to do. And I think he wants us to serve and be equipped to share the word. I know a lot of times I don't feel very equipped, but it doesn't stop him. But getting back to why do we need faith? The first one I talked about was salvation. The second one is justification. And I think justification is really a neat word. It's talking about that we are declared righteous before God. You know, when I think about that, the 2,000 years ago, when he hung on that cross and his blood was shed, the man Jesus died. He was buried. Third day, he rose again. Well, somehow, in all of that, we were declared righteous before God. I mean, I don't understand that. How in the world? I wasn't here yet. You know? And then when I got here, I was a filthy sinner. But because of who he is, we're declared righteous before him. We know the scripture. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. We have divine life because of who he is. We have his life. Go with me to John 14:19. It says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. I mean, that sums it up right there. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? It's because he lives. And then, you know, upon us being justified, having his life and all, we have his peace. And Romans 5:1 talks about this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like I shared with you guys earlier, I can't imagine going through what my sisters went through, and she's still going through some things right now. But what's holding her together? And she shared with my wife today that it's only one reason she's sane and who she is. It's because God somehow, some way, from heaven sent his peace to her. It's resided in her heart. It helps her maintain who she is. And I know we all desperately need his peace. Okay, the third part of why do we need faith is sanctification. I use a little simple definition here. It basically means separated from evil. It is an individual possession built up little by little as a result of obedience to the Word of God and following the example of Christ. It says we are called to serve. It is the special office of the Holy Spirit in the plan of redemption to carry on this work. And to me, one of the best pictures in the Bible that we have of serving. And it took the apostles a while to catch on to this. And right before Jesus departed from them, he washed their feet. And you know, I'll never forget when Brother Kevin Gates got ready to go to work on that was it African Mercy ships. Brother Nathan preached that morning. Brother Buddy had gotten sick, and Brother Nathan had preached a last-minute thing, and that's what he ended up doing. He talked about serving and washing the feet, and that's I imagine somebody a lot smarter than me could do a phenomenal teaching on that. But it just struck me recently that You know, are we willing to serve one another? Are we, I mean, I really don't want to go around washing a bunch of people's feet, but it's more to it than that. It's, you know, it's about dying to self, living for the Lord. I mean, how do we do that? He does it. And I think that's, to me, one of the finest, got to be careful here, finest, I guess, divisions or however you want to call it that we have going on right now in the name of church is got a lot of folks just working their tails off. And I understand that can be a good thing, but we need to be in that place, that humble place of, Lord, what do you want me to do? What will you have me to do? And guys, I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to me now, because I need to learn this as well as anybody. Basically, I said all that to say this, that we are called for one reason. We're called to serve. Where does this service begin? I think it begins at home. We're seeing in the Christian community, homes are being divided, destroyed, and it breaks my heart. I remember the day when division set in at my house. I wasn't even a believer. And I can imagine how it can transpire in a believer's life. You know, where did you go wrong? Did God leave me? But I mean, we know if we have a little bit of Bible, we know He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. And this might be changing course right here a little bit, but as far as I'm concerned, and what the Lord has revealed to me in my home is, and it's taken several years, and I know it takes a lot, it'll take a lot more. I mean, we're not going to be perfected until the day He comes, but I found out some things about home and marriage is, marriage is covenant. Whether we like it or not, it's covenant. And the Bible says that when the two joined and become one flesh, never understood that. Still don't understand too much about it. But over the last few years, I made some business decisions that cost me a lot of money. And in the beginning of those decisions, my spouse warned me. And if you know me, I ain't listening to no woman. You know, I got it going on. You know, God's opening some big doors and blessing me. Well, guess what? Y'all know the story. We learn the hard way. We land on our nose a lot of times. But in spite of, His grace is sufficient. He's going to lift us up. He's going to bring us to the place we need to be. I mean, if we, I'll say this. I heard, I know a lot of you are familiar, I think it's, is it Robbie Zachariah? He was talking the other day. I caught the tail end of something, but he said, you know, he said, guys, do you realize that the journey from, Egypt, the wilderness, to the promised land was, he said, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. He said, well, let's give them the benefit. It's a 12-week journey. Took them 40 years. So, who are we? I know who I am. I'm a hard-headed man. Let me get back to the marriage. But concerning the marriage, the covenant of marriage, what I've found in the last few years, I did not even realize any of this. Probably the first 4 years I was saved. And it's really happened probably in the last year, last few months, that if you want a taste of heaven, get your marriage right. Get your home in order. Learn the role, your role as a husband. And I think it'll be a natural job that mama learn her role. I really believe that. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have on the planet is men. You know, and I know I might be stepping on some toes tonight, but I've seen it happen too many times at my house. When I come running in, all hell breaks loose. You know, when you learn to come in love, humility, can I serve? I'm telling you, it's hard for me. I'm tired. But you'll find you'll get served is what'll happen. It won't be a job. It'll be love, peace, joy. I mean, and that's all. You know, that goes back to being led by the Spirit. And you know, I think we all know and understand. Flesh produces flesh. What does the Spirit produce? True life. And getting back to serving, where does it begin? Number one, at home. Then I think number two, it's in the local body. I mean, I know everybody can't do it, but I think if we're seeking the Lord's counsel and there's a need, the door will be open for us to serve. And then I think when these home local body areas get in the shape they need to be in, then I think a lot of times we'll be able to go and serve, you know, on whatever level we're called to do. But that's pretty much it. I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments or got some arrows to shoot. But I think it's one of the toughest lessons we'll learn. I mean, we're always learning about how to treat one another, love one another in spite of whatever's going on. But, I mean, I pity my wife had to be around the first year I got saved because, man, I ran through that house. I called her all kind of names. You know, you need to do it this way. You need to come here. I got it going on, you know, but after I shut up, she started hearing what she needed to hear. But see, that's what's so neat about belonging to the Lord. We can only mess it up so long. Who is he? He's God Almighty. He's moving. And he's going to radically move in the believer's life, transform them like never before. And we need to get on that boat and ride it. Mom. In spite of? Mm-hmm. He demonstrated that all through his life. Just serve, serve, serve. Love, love, love. No condemnation. You know, he was tough when he needed to get tough, but I mean, he did it properly.